Hello and welcome to this service of the Word coming to you from St. Martin's Church, North Nibley, on this, the Sunday before Lent. Welcome in the name of Christ. God's grace and mercy and peace be with each one of you and those that you love, and also with you. We worship with Christians, Christians near and far, living and departed, old and young. God's word is for every one of us, and may it be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. News and notices. Now I'll do that at the end, I think, the notices, and then you're less likely to forget, because if you're anything like me, in one ear and out the next. So we come before God and pray. Lord, speak to us that we may hear your word. Move among us that we may behold your glory. Receive our prayers that we may learn to trust you. Amen. The collect for the first Sunday before Lent, that special prayer written for this particular day. Holy God, you know the disorder of our sinful lives. Set straight our crooked hearts and bend our wills to love your goodness and your glory. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The first reading comes from Exodus chapter 34, beginning at verse 29. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai, with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. Here endeth the lesson. The psalm set for today is Psalm 99. The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim, let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion, he is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The King is mighty. He loves justice. You have established equity. In Jacob you have done what is just and right. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called on the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar of cloud. They kept his statutes and the decrees he gave them. Lord our God, you answered them. You were to Israel a forgiving God, though you punished their misdeeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be for evermore. Amen. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John and James with him and went up into a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendour talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfilment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at the time what they had seen. The next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met them. A man in the crowd called out, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child. A spirit seizes him and he suddenly screams. It throws him into convulsion so that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him and is destroying him. I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not. You unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." Even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground in a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the impure spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today the Gospel is about the transfiguration of Christ, and I'm afraid I don't feel confident to talk about that because I have no experience of transfiguration, and I tend to be one of those people who, in order to preach from the heart, need to know what I'm talking about. So I've turned to Tom Wright, who's a Church of England priest and theological author, and his book Luke for Everyone. And so today we'll hear his thoughts on the transfiguration. All the Gospel writers follow the story of the Transfiguration with the story of a boy who is desperately ill, so sick that the disciples hadn't been able to cure him. They seem to be telling us that the two go together, the mountaintop experience and the shrieking, stubborn demon. Many people prefer to live their lives without either, to be people of the plateau, undramatic and unexciting. God seems to call some to that kind of life. But for many, dramatic visions and spiritual experiences are balanced by huge demands. The more open we are to God and to the different dimensions of God's glory, the more we seem to be open to the pain of the world. We are right to be wary when we return from some great worship service, when we rise from a time of prayer in which God has seemed close and his love real and powerful. These things are never given for their own sake, but so that, as we are equipped by them, God can use us within his needy world. Luke has highlighted throughout this passage the way in which the transfiguration was preparing Jesus himself, not just for one human tragedy, but for the greatest threat of all. Moses and Elijah, says Luke, were speaking with Jesus about his departure, which he was going to fulfil at Jerusalem. The word for departure is exodus, and Luke means us to understand that in several senses. It can mean, like exodus in the Old Testament, departure, going away. It can also serve as a euphemism for death, as when somebody says, "I'm no longer going to be here," referring to their own death. But the reason Luke has chosen this word, not least in connection with Moses, is that in his death, Jesus will enact an event, just like the great exodus from Egypt, only more so. In the first Exodus, Moses led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt and home to the promised land. In the new Exodus, Jesus will lead all God's people out of the slavery of sin and death and home to their promised inheritance, the new creation in which the whole world will be redeemed. Jesus himself, then, went through the mountaintop experience, knowing that it was preparing him to follow where the law and the prophets, here represented by Moses and Elijah, had pointed, down into the valley to the place of despair and death, the place where demons shriek and sufferers weep, the place where the Son of Man will be handed over to sinners, which here means Gentiles, like you and me. The disciples were overwhelmed by the transfiguration and blurted out things they didn't mean. Peter seems to have thought it would be good to keep Moses, Elijah and Jesus there forever, but things don't work like that. They were unable to understand how it was that the glory which they had glimpsed on the mountain, the glory of God's chosen Son, the servant who was carrying in himself the promise of redemption, would finally be unveiled on a very different hill. A ugly little hill outside Jerusalem. We too often find it completely bewildering to know how to understand all that God is doing and saying, both in our times of great joy and our times of great sadness. But the word that comes to us, leading us on to follow Jesus even when we haven't a clue what's going on, is the word that came from the cloud on that strange day in Galilee. "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Amen. We say together the Creed. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Amen. And now we come to our time of prayer, where we pray for ourselves, for forgiveness, for the bits in our lives that we get wrong, knowing that if we are truly repentant and sorry and try not to do it again, God will forgive us. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We've done evil in your sight. we are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore to us the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive you your sins and make you holy to serve him in the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so we come to God the Father to pray for those situations in the world and those people around us who need prayer. Holy God, we are all companions on a spiritual journey. And so as we travel together, let us pray together. Loving God, bless and guide our ministers and leaders as we enter Lent, the season of penitence and discipline. Help us to be alive to your Spirit, that Spirit who searches all our hearts and renews our lives as we offer our faith and obedience. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, we know that we're a part of the problems that the world faces. And we know that wherever there is resentment between people, there will be tension. We pray that those who lead us and the other nations of the world will always try to solve issues in a peaceful way and intervene in the world's conflicts with forethought and common sense. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, we pray for the families and communities that we represent, asking that we may have a spirit of generosity, respect and understanding at all times. And may we always be able to help each other, just as you love and help us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, we place into your gentle hands those who are sick. Ease their pain and heal the damage done to them in body, mind or spirit. Be with them through the support of their friends, families, doctors and nurses, and help them to be aware that they are surrounded with the prayers of the faithful. And merciful God, we remember with thanksgiving before you those who have died in Christ and those whose faith is known to you alone. Be especially close to those they have left behind as their journey to the New Jerusalem. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Faithful God, in the week that lies before us, may we reflect your love in the way that we live our lives, so that the world can see that we are followers of Christ, and by our words and actions draw others into his loving care. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of thy Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The risen Christ came and stood amongst his disciples, and he said, "Peace be with you." And were they glad when they saw the Lord. Alleluia. The peace of the Lord be with each one of you and also with you. Now we're doing notices. March 1st, that's Saturday. That was yesterday, if you're listening on Sunday. At 10 o'clock, there is the churchyard cleanup. Yeah. I'm not quite sure what we're doing. Probably ivy off the tombstones and picking up any bits and pieces that have come up from down below the ground. Hope not. But anyway, it's a general churchyard cleanup. And it would be great if as many people as can get there to help could come. And that's from 10 o'clock until noon. So it's not too long a period. And of course, you don't have to stay for the whole lot. The following day, today if you're listening on a Sunday, if not the 2nd of March, there is a family service. And I think it's Leslie Hewish. And there's all sorts of things that she's got planned for children and families. On the 4th of March, which is Tuesday, at noon, I think it is, there is the pancake lunch. If you'd like a free ticket, although donations are welcomed, but if you want a ticket, they're free, but you need to ring up or contact Jill Stevens. Have a look in On the Edge, any of the On the Edges, and her contact details are on the chapel page. On the 7th of, that's when I'm doing Open the Book. On the 30th of March, which is a long way hence, it is the benefice service, which is Alderley. So that would be 11:15, 30th of March. But also, closer to home, because we haven't got a service at North Nibley, and because it is Mothering Sunday, and we do like to remember our mothers who brought us into the world, I'm doing an Around the Font, a special Mothering Sunday Around the Font at 4 p.m. My Churches Together team tell me that I've never done a Mothering Sunday one, but I think I have. So you can have a think about that, and you can contact me and tell me whether I'm right or wrong. So that's the end of the notices for now, but I don't want to overload you. Oh, there's one more notice that you must hear. I got an email yesterday from Noddy the Donkey, and he's moved. He's gone to Tetbury to be a companion to a horse, which is a wonderful thing for a donkey to go and do. And we'd expect nothing else from somebody like Noddy, but it does mean that we haven't got a donkey anymore. So I publicly now thank Anthony and his daughters for looking after us so well by bringing Noddy up twice a year for I don't know how many years. And they've always done it without complaint, and without reward. He won't take anything other than the odd bottle of wine. So we'd just like to say thank you and how sorry we are that we won't have Noddy anymore. So if anybody's got a big lawn and a shed that they're not using and, you know, want to get a donkey in, then we'll support you fully on that one. Okay, so going out to serve the Lord. Faithful Lord, whose steadfast love never ceases and whose mercies never come to an end, grant us the grace to trust you and receive the gifts of your love new every morning in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with each one of us and remain with you forever. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.